You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
We got feedback today. We're currently in a series called Greater, and the title for today's message is Greatest. Greatest. You know, the standards of the world are different from the standards that God has set, especially when you become part of the kingdom of God. For those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord, something changed in us. Paul writes it so well in his letter to the Corinthian church. He says, "You are now a new creation, the old is gone. The new has come." Now that takes place from inside, but there are things that happen as well in our minds and our thoughts that we need to regularly and constantly submit to God's lordship and leadership. In another letter that Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, he says, "We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It is by doing that that we will be able to discern and understand what the Lord's will is, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." So a shift needs to change in our lifestyle. It's just like driving a car. You know, if you've been some countries, when they're on the road, they drive on the left side of the road. So, you know, the driving side is on the right side of the car, just like what happens in many other countries. And then you move to another country, and you have to shift. Like the steering wheel is now on the left side, which is like here in the Philippines. And you drive on the road, you have to stay on the right, not on the left. Otherwise, you're going to hit oncoming traffic. For those of us who've experienced doing that, you know, you've driven in one country, you've moved to another country, there has to be a willful shift in your mindset, right? Otherwise, you're going to end up going on the public road and driving in front of people that are coming towards you. And sometimes you're wondering what's happening with everybody else when, in fact, you're the one that is on the wrong side of the road. That requires a intentionality on our thinking, on the way that we drive, and even where the positioning of the instruments are, where the gear shift is. Instead of being on the left, it's now on the right. The indicators are the same. And so a lot of change needs to happen. That doesn't happen automatically. Just like when we follow Jesus Christ, our values, our standards do not shift or change automatically. We need to get the Word of God in us to know what are the new standards, what are the new values, and what have changed. Following Jesus requires a change of perspective and of standards. Now, that affects many parts of our lives when we follow Jesus. And these are for the good. Of course, in the beginning, that may be a bit difficult to do. Why? Because we have been so used to living in the standards of the world that when we become followers of Jesus Christ, those standards shift. And it's something that we're not used to. But as we strive to follow Jesus more, as the years pile on, it becomes part of us. It becomes natural to our character and our being. Why? Because we desire to honor the Lord in and through our life. And in many ways, that has to do a lot when it comes to being the greatest. The standards in the world when it comes to being the greatest is different in the standards of the kingdom of God. In the world, it's all about me. If you want to be the greatest, you've got to be the strongest, you've got to be the wealthiest, you've got to be number one. And it's all about me, my ability, my possessions, and what I can do. But apparently, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, the standard of greatest is not about me, but it's about you. Being the greatest in the kingdom of God is about you, not me. Now, if there's one thing you want to remember today, this is the one thing. So if you're taking notes, write it down. Highlight it. Take a screen cap if that is on your screen right now. This is what we want to talk about today. The road to greater. begins with a heart that says, you know what, I want to be the greatest, but not in my own standards, not in the world's standards. It has to be in the standards that Jesus Christ has set for those who would follow him as his disciples. This question is not a new question. This question has been asked even when Jesus was here on earth. His disciples who were with him asked him this exact same question. And so we're going to go to that right now in the book of Matthew, who's one of the followers of Jesus Christ, a tax collector, a government worker, wrote this in Matthew 18, beginning with verse 1. It says there, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They were interested in this question as well. Probably because, you know, part of them was still part of the world standards. It's like, you know what, I'm the first disciple. No, I'm the greatest disciple. And so they finally decided, let me just ask Jesus. Jesus, who's the greatest? And, you know, when we become part of the heaven, when we become part of the kingdom of God, how do we know? And so they bring that question up to Jesus. And so Jesus responds and he says, calling to him a child, he does an illustration. He put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It is so like Jesus, instead of directly responding to a question, he gives an illustration, right? He tells a story. In this case, it's an object lesson. Brings a child and he says, hey, unless you become like one of these little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Truly, he says, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, you think about children, you think about little kids. The greatest doesn't immediately come to mind, right? Unless you're a child prodigy. And, you know, child prodigies are like, they do amazing things that majority of children their age shouldn't be able to do. And so we think they're the greatest. But for the majority of us, you know, growing up as little kids, and even now as adults, when we talk to kids, we always ask them a question. Hey, when you grow up, don't you want to be just like him? And we point to an adult. We point to a grown-up, right? Because that's the standard. When you're a kid, you look up to somebody and you want to strive, aspire to be that grown up with whatever it is that they were doing. Nobody ever says to an adult, hey, don't you want to be just like that child? Nobody says that in the world. But here, Jesus, that's exactly what he does. To answer the question, you know, who's the greatest in heaven? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Jesus illustrates and he says, you just got to be like one of the kids. You want to be the greatest? Be like one of these little ones. One of these little ones. Why? Because the standards of the kingdom of God is different from the standards of the world. And as long as we live in accordance to the standards of the world, we will not fully understand how it is to live as followers of Jesus Christ according to his standards. Why is this important? Because the path to greater or to greatest begins in a posture of humility. And it starts by us embracing who Jesus is. And so the first thing we find here, we want to be the greatest, we have to believe like a child. That is what this child did. He says, hey, look at this children. Children believe pretty much just about anything a grown-up tells them, right? They're so gullible and innocent, you know, they don't know any better. They haven't experienced life the way that we have. And so if we say, you know what, if you continue traveling towards the end of the earth, you're going to fall off the earth. A child will believe that, right? Even though we know that the earth is now, it's actually a sphere. It's not a flat surface, but a child will believe that. If you have a trick, an illustration that you want to do where, you know, grown-ups already know what that is. You get a piece of 1 peso, or is it now 5 peso, or the latest 20 peso coin. Do you have that yet? Right? You get a 20 peso coin. You say, hey, look at this 20 peso. I'm going to make it disappear. You hold it, and you say, rub my elbow, and it's going to disappear. They rub it, and you say, wah, it's gone. And a child is bewildered, and they're in wonder, and they're thinking, man, my dad, my mom, my uncle, what a great magician you are. all the while that peso is right there at the back of your shirt, right? They don't know that. But they think, man, this is so amazing. Do one more. Do you have any more tricks? I want some more. Children believe. They're innocent. They're in awe. They're in wonder. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to be the greatest in my kingdom, in the heavens, you've got to be like this child. You have to learn. We have to learn to trust and believe wholeheartedly in who Jesus is, in what God says, in what Jesus says, who he says he is. Because that begins the path towards greatness. Not my words, that's what Jesus said. You want to be great? You want to be the greatest? Be like these little children. Of course, here when he's talking about this area, he's talking about a life of faith and trust. Do you still have that? Do you still have a sense of wonder? Are you still able to go out at nights, look up into the heavens, and look up in wonder? Just like the writers of Psalm 8, you know, David writing down, what is man? When I look at the heavens and the stars that you have set in place, what is man? He's looking up in wonder and say, who am I that you would even think about me and the greatness of the universe? Are you still in wonder whenever a new child is born? Do you still look at that child and wonder, and it's like, man, how amazing that life is that came from your own body? How amazing life is. Don't you wake up in the morning and you just wonder, man, how amazing it is that just a few inches closer to the sun and we will burn up, but a few inches away we will freeze up, and yet the earth is sustained in its orbit around the sun perfectly. I mean, there are so many things in life and in the world today that can continue to take our breath away. Does it still take your breath away that we're able to breathe in oxygen and exhale CO2? That's right, carbon dioxide. I mean, how does that work? We're in awe. We're in wonder. Belief like a child, faith like a child, starts us on that path and on that journey towards greatest. But it doesn't stop there. One of the things that we should remember when he says, you know, be like these little children, he wasn't talking about behavior. Rather, he was talking about the innocence and the faith and the trust, right? We are to be childlike, not childish. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. In fact, some of them may be sitting right next to you right now. Don't look at them, right? We may behave childish. That's something we have to grow out of. If you're an adult like me and you're childish, that's not what Jesus is talking about. But if we have the right way of thinking when it comes to faith and trust in Jesus, childlike, innocent, wonder, faith, that's still in awe of our Savior, he's saying, that's how you become the greatest. Fully trusting in the Lord and our God. To be the greatest, we need to also behave humbly. Again, exemplified by children. You know, Jesus says, whoever humbles himself like a child will be the greatest. Humility is a mark that sets us on the path to greatest, towards being great. Walking humbly and in humility. Again, a child illustrates this to us. But Jesus also points out one of the people that was around when he was present, and that's none other than John the Baptist. This guy who came just before Jesus, you know, came into the scene, was there ministering. And John the Baptist had amassed a following. He had his own disciples who were following him, who were devoted to his teachings, who would do whatever he said. And here is what Jesus said about John the Baptist, who was his distant relative. Dr. Luke in chapter 7 and verse 28 says, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. He's talking about John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Again, it's one of those ironic statements that Jesus makes. He's saying, like, John, my cousin, this guy who's an amazing evangelist, he is the greatest. There's no one greater than John. But whoever is the least, the lowest and the kingdom of God is greater than he is. So again, what is he talking about here? And the best way for us to understand Jesus' point is to look at other statements that he makes and other illustrations about John the Baptist. It's interesting because in John chapter 3, this time around, John the Beloved, right? Don't get confused here. There's John the Baptist, and there's another disciple called John the Beloved, John, son of Zebedee. He also wrote a gospel. And in this gospel, he writes, at a time when John the Baptist's disciples were watching the story of Jesus unfold. Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist, and now Jesus was starting to amass disciples. And Jesus was also in the river, it tells us in the story in John chapter 3. And guess what was Jesus was doing? He was also baptizing people. And so John the Baptist's disciples goes to him and says, hey, you know what? That guy that you baptized a few days ago, we just saw him. And he also has disciples. And you'll never guess what he's doing. He's also baptizing people in water just like you. Is that okay? I mean, that was their question. That was their intent behind their question. Now, if you're the person who started something and you're the originator of that invention, of that teaching, or whatever fad or fashion it is that you started, you want trademark recognition, right? That's something that we hear a lot about today. Copyright, right? You want copyright on those things. You know, if you put something online that has copyright and you don't have permission to put it online electronically, they'll mute you. They'll mute you. Ironically, even if it's your own composition, but because you weren't able to credit it, they actually mute you as well. I don't know. It's electronic. It's one of those things. But everybody wants recognition for something that they did originally, for something that they created. And so John's disciples, honestly, in all sincerity, were just probably thinking about him, and they're saying, hey, John, that guy Jesus that you baptized, he's doing exactly what you're doing. Now, at this point, nobody else was doing that except John the Baptist. And so, you know what was John's response? He begins to talk about the heavens. He begins to talk about whatever comes from heaven. You know, he has no right to those things, that he is also submitted to that. And towards the end of his statement, he says, he, recognizing Jesus, must become greater, I must become less. At this point in John's journey, he recognizes that his role had been fulfilled, had been done, and because now Jesus was becoming more prominent, John was saying, that's okay, guys. It's all right that he's getting the attention. It's okay that he's having disciples, because this is really about him. What I've done was in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And at this point, he recognizes that. And he says, hey, it's okay if I'm not as popular anymore. And he begins to get attention. He begins to get the fame, because now it is his season. It's about him. Hundreds of years before, there was a prophecy about John the Baptist. It says, there is a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. John would be born. He would end up being a fulfillment of that prophecy. As a prophet, he lived out in the wilderness, in the desert, ate locusts. He was weird, but his message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is about to come. And when Jesus Christ came, that was it. Jesus was ushering the kingdom of God. Jesus' message was, the kingdom of God is now here. It is here. You remember that the time when Jesus was about to be baptized by John the Baptist, he comes, and John sees him coming. God the Father, the Holy Spirit as well, impresses on John, hey, here is somebody whose sandals I'm not even fit to untie. I'm not even fit to untie your sandals. Why are you asking me to baptize you, Jesus? You should be the one baptizing me. The humility of John. Even though he had the message, he had the following, He had that center of attention at that point. He was saying, no, Jesus, it's not about me anymore. It has to be about you. And when his disciples were wanting to pull him back in the other direction, thinking things not of God, he said, no, you don't understand. Right now, it needs to be about Jesus. It's okay that people don't see me. It's okay that people don't hear me. In fact, a few days later, John the Baptist would be incarcerated. He would be thrown in jail, and he would be killed because of the message that brought offense to those in authority. Knowing who God is, knowing who you are, knowing your purpose helps us on the path of humility. This is what John understood. He understood that, hey, it's about God. This message that I'm preaching, it's from him. And it's in preparation for the Messiah. Once the Messiah was revealed, he says, my purpose is done. It's been fulfilled. It's complete. The attention needs now to be drawn to him. Now, John did not stop preaching repentance. He did not stop all the way until, you know, he was no more on earth. But it was clear to him, and he was secure in the fact that even though attention was no longer his, he even encouraged his own disciples, hey, you should probably go and follow him too. You don't need to be with me. He's the one that needs to be followed. When we understand our purpose, when we understand our part and our role in God's overall plan and direction, it would be easier for us to assume the position of humility, to walk in humility. Why? Because we know it's not about us. First of all, it's about God and his purpose, and that all of us have a part to play in that. The description of David's life in the Psalms, he says, you know, David fulfilled his purpose in his generation, and he was no more. Do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're here? You see, none of us willed our own lives to come into existence. It's God's purpose. It's God's will for us to exist today, in this time, in the 21st century, in the midst of this global pandemic. It's God's will for us to be around in this world today. Why? Because he has a purpose for you and me. We begin to understand that once we get to know him, we recognize who he is, understand who we are, and the way that he's created us, and begin to walk on the path of humility. John shows to us that example. But of course, the greatest example that we have, not a child, not John the Baptist, but our own Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest example of humility, and we need to follow his example. Paul reminds us how Jesus exemplified a life of humility. He is God. He was immortal. Nothing could touch him. He received worship 24/7. He wasn't limited to our sense of limitations as mortal beings, and yet, despite those things, he came and took upon the form of his own creation so that he could redeem us. Paul, in writing to the Philippian church, reminded the church, humility needs to be expressed not just through words or on our own, but in the context of relationship. We don't fully understand humility unless we begin to actually apply it in our relationship with one another. You can't say, I'm humble by yourself. Humility is recognized and exemplified only in the context of relationships and community. And so Paul reminds the Philippian church here in Philippians chapter 2. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, there's the word, value others above yourselves. In humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. Why? Why should we do this? Because of Jesus. He says here, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. In your relationship, be like him, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He understood he was God. He knew he was God. But he decided, you know what? There are privileges in me being God that I am going to withhold in this season at a time because I have a purpose. I have a purpose. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Can you imagine a great God, immortal, invisible, being now made finite as a man? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The best example of humility and how it is to walk humbleness is Jesus. Jesus. He believed in the Father. There was trust relationship in the Trinity. He behaved humbly, and now he showed us how it was done. And he was saying, you know what? This can only be expressed in the context of relationships. And as Jesus took upon himself the payment for our sins, which was death on the cross, he was walking in humility. He was walking humbly in obedience to what the Father required so that our relationship would be restored with our Heavenly Father. Jesus, who was deserving of worship and honor, came on this earth not as a man to say, hey, I'm in town now, you're going to do what I say. No, he came humbly as a servant to serve you, to serve me. He came to seek to save the lost. He came to raise those who were discouraged. He came to bring the children into his arms. He came to serve each one of us, to express the love, the grace, and the mercy of our Heavenly Father to us. A God who received the worship of the entire universe chose to come and serve that which he has created, to be made the least of all that he's created. That's humility. That's walking in humility. And this is what Jesus expects of us, his followers, today. You see, when we walk in humility as the form and the path to greatness, we become more like Jesus. When we come to serve the needs of others in our home, a spouse has come to serve the needs of their spouse. I'm not getting in this relationship because of what I can get from it, but I want to get in this relationship because I want to contribute to your life. When we come and we say, as a parent, how can I serve the needs of my children? How can I empower them so that they can discover God's purpose for their life? How can I provide for their needs so that they know that there is a God who loves them? When we come together as a church or in our circle groups, what can I do in that community so that I could be an encouraging, a blessing to those that I will meet? It is there that we begin to assume the posture of humility the way that Jesus Christ put it on himself and showed us in his life. If we want to be great in God's kingdom, as the song says, we have to learn to be the servant of all. We need to learn how to serve others. I'm not in it for what I can get out of it. I'm going to go in it for what I can contribute, because I know that God has set me on this earth for that purpose. Not just for me to say, hey, here's what I need. God already knows what we need even before we ask him. Scripture says that when we seek his kingdom, he will provide for those needs. But as we walk in humility, as we know him, as he is made known to us, it is there that we begin to outwork who he is in our life. You know the beauty about walking in humility? You don't have to wait for people to say, oh, look how amazing or humble that person is. That's not what we do it for. You don't do it for recognition. We do it because it's the path that our Lord walks. And if we say, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus, I need to follow the path that he shows by example. The thing is, when we begin to walk on that path, it's an ironic thing again. You know who lifts us up? Jesus, God himself, will begin to honor us the way that he honored his son. As Jesus did this, here's what the following verses says. As Jesus obeyed Christ all the way to the cross, verse 9 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. After Jesus humbly followed God all the way to his death, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because in the end, the glory belongs to God. In the end, yes, he's the one who's going to lift you up, but guess who gets the glory? It's still God who gets the glory. Even on the path of greatest, as I walk in humility and people begin to say, oh man, look at that guy. He's such a humble servant. Look at that lady. Look at that person. Look at that child. In the end, we've got to say, it's about God. Praise the Lord. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name be glory. I do this not to get attention. I do this because I'm following Jesus. And if we do get any attention, we want to be sure to carefully deflect it back to God. Because that is the path of greatness in the kingdom of God. The greatest in God's kingdom is one who knows Jesus fully, trusts in him, and lives in humble obedience. That's what children do. That's what John the Baptist did. And Paul, in his admonition to the Philippian church, is asking them, echoing all the way to the 21st century, to us to do today as well. The path to greatness is humility. Serving others as Jesus Christ served us when he came on earth. Because in the kingdom of God, being the greatest is about you, not me. What can I do to serve you? What can I do to encourage you? How can I pray for you? That's what Jesus did. And if we say his followers, we are his followers, we better be sure that we do that as well in this season and at this time.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.